7:21, John Hansen with us from Block Club Chicago. We call this Extremely Local News. And John, the Block Club podcast that you do, pretty interesting, that history of Chicago politics. It's all about the Chicago way, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Our Chicago, and good morning, Bob. Our Block Club Chicago podcast, we put them out 2 days a week. Our most recent one last week was with Mick Dumke, who has covered City Hall for decades and done an extraordinary job at that at a couple different publications. He's now our investigative's editor. And him and I started chatting after the Walter Burnett Jr. wants his son to take over for him in the powerful ward. And we started just talking about the rich history of political nepotism. And maybe rich is the appropriate word because, of course, the Daley family, the Richards, of maybe the biggest one at that. But we dove into these really interesting stories that I had long forgotten about. There's, I think, ones that people remember, the Deb Mell story, of course, taking over for her father, and other ones along the lines. But there's a long history going back a century of powerful older people who essentially line up everything for either their kids, their wife, their husband, whatever the case may be, to take over for them. And there's some cases where actually the person who benefits from the quote-unquote nepotism ends up becoming the more famous name and ends up building a legacy of their own and does a lot of great things. And then there's a lot of stories where the person who's the beneficiary of the nepotism ends up in jail. In fact, there's a lot of those stories, Bob, in Chicago. So if you're interested in a deep dive into our rich political history that way, blockclubchicago.org and wherever you listen to your podcast, Bob.
We have to dig up the quote. I remember the old man, Richard J. Daley, saying this when questioned about nepotism. It was something along the lines of, well, if a father can't help his son, it was much more colorful than that. But we need to get that audio.
Yeah, I gotta find that.
Let's talk a little bit about this nonprofit that has been helping Southside kids for a long time and what's going on with that organization.
Yeah, this is the Lost Boys, Inc., and this is an organization in the South Shore neighborhood started by Levante Stewart, who has a fascinating history, too, as someone who was a college football player and played a lot of baseball as well, went to prison in his early 20s for firing a gun in the air in Missouri and was throwing the book at him. He doesn't shy away from that. He says it was maybe an over sentence. He was in jail for 10 years, but he did his time, and when he came back to Chicago, where he is from originally, he didn't want kids to fall in a similar loop. So he started Lost Boys, Inc. Probably a decade ago so or now, and it's done great. It started with one team. It grew to more. Now girls play baseball as well, and it really keeps a lot of kids active with a community of friends and family around them. And they've really relied, as a lot of or nonprofits, us as well, rely on these grants to help keep us going and help us grow. It's wonderful. It's a little bit of a catch-22, Bob, because grants don't last forever, right?
Right.
And it's you build and you grow, and now you go from one team to many teams. That takes money. That takes a lot of effort to put together. And a lot of these grants, unfortunately, through the state and feds are drying up. And it just means that a lot of the Lost Boys, Inc., people that are getting paid for their work, rightfully so, to help these kids do what they need to do and help keep them busy and doing productive things, now are volunteering as they're trying to make ends meet. And it just goes to show that, you know, there needs to be a lot of training on grants, too. Levante admits this, that there's a lot of work you have to do, not only to get the grant, but keep the grant and keep the state advised of what you're doing with your money, et cetera. So he's talking a little bit about that, too, in our story. But it's just, it's sad, right? There's a lot of great organizations that can't operate as for-profit organizations. They need the help of some benefactors of the state or maybe families or organizations that put money towards great causes. And it's a deep dive into a little bit of that process.
Big problem there. That's the news from South Shore. The news from Uptown is Medicare patients won't be accepted at Weiss Memorial Hospital. How come?
Yeah, well, a few different reasons. This has, Medicare's been in the news a lot lately, as we were talking about the big bill that was passed last month. This actually has to do internally just with the state. This isn't a national issue. The Illinois Department of Public Health has removed and will soon not allow Medicare patients to be accepted at Weiss Memorial Hospital in the Uptown neighborhood. This follows a 3-year-long investigation diving into this stuff. But people may remember Weiss was recently in the news for not having air conditioning during that recent heat wave for a long time. No official word if that's the reason why. But this is one of those hospitals. It's kind of a rare breed, Bob. It is a It's a for-profit hospital, but it's a safety net hospital. So it is supposed to kind of accept everyone in the community. These are essential hospitals in the city because they accept people that are underinsured, uninsured. They are for-profit, though. But that doesn't mean they don't get state funding. So it's an interesting organizational structure to help set it up and prop it up. But when Medicare patients can't go here soon, they're going to have to go to the other hospitals, which, Bob, as you know, don't have a ton of resources to begin with. So it really overburdens other hospitals too. So we did a dive into Weiss and what's been happening over the past couple of years. Manny Ramos did, and it's an interesting read and unfortunate for a lot of folks in the Uptown neighborhood that rely on this hospital.
Read more at blockclubchicago.org. I hope they have their AC working properly now.
Yeah, they do. But Bob, one last thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned the horn, that you want a microphone in your car.
Oh, yeah, to yell at drivers who are, you know, they don't know their turn signals
on. Yeah, just really quickly, we need a polite horn, because I don't want to, just an option for a secondary horn that's just like a, pardon me, sir, maybe it could be in a British accent, pardon, or something, just to let them know. You're not trying to be mean. It's not an emergency, just,
that's a good idea. Yeah, we don't want to encourage more road rage out there.
No.
It's John Hansen, and he'll be on tonight with Your Money Matters at 6 p.m. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Bob.